Treating progress for tolerance in maize and lethal necrosis in eastern Africa.
And I don't know, is yours recorded?
It may be.
Okay, it's all yours. And I'll come up at the end of the question just to save time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, perfect. I need to leave myself a little note, something that I forgot to add into my presentation that I want to just tack on during the later stages. So thanks for the introduction, and I'm glad to be here talking a little bit about what CIMMYT has been doing in collaboration with partners in Eastern Africa to address the problem of maize lethal necrosis. MLN is, many of you may be aware, is a viral disease caused by a co-infection of two viruses, maize chlorotic mosaic virus, and any one of the potty viruses. In Africa, the primary potty virus co-infecting with MCMV is sugarcane mosaic virus. And the disease was first reported in Kenya in September of 2011, and has since spread significantly to a number of countries in the region. Just an example, a recent study by our colleagues in the socioeconomics program at CIMMYT, doing 121 household surveys in Kenya to assess the impact of the disease on national maize production, estimates that MLN has led to a 23% yield loss at a country level in Kenya, 0.3 million metric tons, an equivalent of $188 million loss to the agricultural system of Kenya. In response to the disease, CIMMYT and what is now known as CALRO, the Kenya Ag and Livestock Research Organization, formerly CARI, you'll see the CARI acronym still on the maize lethal necrosis facility, developed a maize an MLN screening facility at Naivasha, about an hour and a half west of Nairobi, out towards the Rift Valley. And this was a project funded by the Gates Foundation and the Syngenta Foundation for Sustainable Agriculture. We began screening a global collection of germplasm. What we found was that essentially all of the material from Africa was moderately to highly susceptible to MLN. So you see a distribution here, rating things on a 1 to 5 scale. This is sort of a combined analysis, and very few things with any level of tolerance. The photo on the right side of this slide shows CML395, a fairly susceptible line. It's also one of the most important lines that in use and commercial use in Africa. Again, just a few examples of widely used lines. CML442, not only is it our susceptible check, it's also the most widely used line in national performance trials in the region. So a very important line for the maize industry in Africa. It's also highly, highly susceptible. We do have a few sources of resistance now that look very promising. Most of the ones that come from the CIMMYT germplasm are coming from Latin America, and we also have a few lines that have been identified coming from Katsutstart University, I'll talk about in a little bit, that are very promising. So this is just a summary of some of the top MLN tolerant lines that we've identified to date. Some of them have much more data than others. I was trying to find how to use the mouse. I was instructed that it would record that way, but I can't quite figure out. There we go. Okay. So, so these two lines here, these are Katsutstart lines, and then there's a line that an experimental line that came from Peg Redenbaugh's lab that also shows fairly good tolerance. We have a number of recoveries of CML494 now. You see that very limited data, but they look quite promising. And then a group of lines from the Lowland Tropic Program in Mexico that show decent tolerance. CML494 is actually, in terms of a white line that's fairly adapted to Africa, it's actually still coming straight from the Lowland Tropical Program. This is probably our best white line in terms of MLN tolerance. We have a fair bit of data now, and the recoveries of it are showing promise. And CML543 was one of the early ones that we identified as having some promise. It's the only one on the list here that actually was developed and coded in Africa. And then you see these are widely used lines from Africa with quite high levels of susceptibility to the disease. We have a group of what we call first-generation MLN-tolerant hybrids that are now out with our partners and being scaled up. We were really fortuitous in many ways that the Improved Maize for African Soils, the IMAS project, we were widely using both CML494 and 550, which showed decent tolerance to MCMV. And so in combinations, we have a number of hybrids that that show good tolerance to MLN as well as improved yield under low nitrogen conditions. And again, all of these hybrids have at least one line coming from the lowland tropic program in Mexico. It's just a short list of the hybrids and the status of the commercial scale-up of some of these products. This is an example of a natural disease pressure site in Babati, Tanzania, looking at one of our more promising hybrids. This is Yosef Bayani, one of our breeders, with a hybrid involving one of these CML494 recoveries compared with a widely grown commercial variety on Yosef's left, just to show the impact. This is actually a what I would consider a moderate infestation site. And I'll show a little bit of data from a severe infestation site in a minute. In a separate trial, now we subsequently took and crossed all of our best lines, organized them into heterotic group A and B, and kind of ignored grain color for the minute just to see what levels of tolerance we could achieve with the most promising combinations we could think of. And this slide is showing the top 10 hybrids compared with our first generation hybrids, and then on the far end in yellow are the widely grown popular commercial varieties that were on the landscape at the time of the outbreak. So again, this is actually a fairly moderate level of MLN pressure. The commercial checks commonly go to zero yield, as I'll show in the next slide, but I just wanted to point this out again. There's a lot of opportunity. I think there's quite a bit of promise, but again, there are challenges with these lines. Each one of the hybrids that I just showed have at least one parent that has yellow grain from the lowland tropic program, and of course, Eastern Africa is predominantly a white grain preference market. Additionally, none of these lines from the lowland tropic programs have resistance to maize streak virus, which is, you know, also a very important economic disease in the region, and many of them are susceptible to the local races of Turcicum leaf blight as well. But just to summarize here, all 52 of the hybrids that we had prioritized from this particular experiment out-yielded the widely grown checks, and you know, in a cohort analysis, you can see that this strategy really has the potential to move us forward in terms of yield potential under MLN. Interestingly, there's still a fair bit of variation for yield, even among hybrids. The visual rating scale, especially under these conditions, doesn't tell the whole story. So there are hybrids that look quite healthy and green, and their yield is still quite impacted. And then I just kind of highlighted at the bottom here a summary of how these hybrids involving some of the yellow lines are doing. So we've subsequently been introgressing converting the yellow lines to white, essentially, and introgressing a major QTL for MSV tolerance. Just to highlight the situation, under severe MLN pressure, you still see, even with the best hybrids we've identified to date, significant yield impact. So this is fully irrigated conditions in another site in Tanzania. With high insect pressure, the vectors are very active. All the commercial checks, these are, again, elite hybrids being grown widely in the region from multiple companies, all going to zero. Our most promising first generation hybrids between 0 and 2 tons, and we're finding a handful of hybrids that show some promise even under these conditions, but currently farmers in pockets where there's heavy MLN pressure are really being advised not to grow maize still because there just aren't viable solutions yet. We did initiate a fairly large, for us at least, MABC pipeline a little while back, and we have 37 projects ongoing now to integrate QTLs for MLN into our prioritized most important lines. We organized these into heterotic groups, and we focused our donor effort on a few key lines with the information we had as of 2 years ago. This has changed a little bit. As I mentioned earlier, CML 543, which we were using heavily at the time, we were picking up 2 QTLs with CML 543 that were in the literature for SCMV tolerance, SCMV1 on chromosome 6, and SCMV2 on chromosome 3. Subsequently, we found that CML 494 has generally better tolerance and better GCA in hybrid combinations than 543, so we're switching our heterotic group B strategy over to using 494. And similarly, on the heterotic group A side, we didn't have any real strong leading donors initially, we're now starting to use the cat to start lines on that side. In this initial wave of projects, we basically tried to do 2 or 3 QTL integration models. The concept of the pipeline is to try and improve yield under natural MLN pressure by 10% with our, compared with our neoestrogenic control. A highlight at the bottom, again, the few of these yellow lines, actually 5 of the 6 donors here are yellow, so we're converting those with to white versions using the Y1 locus, and then also bringing in the MSV1 major QTL for MSV tolerance at the same time. And just at the bottom here, a nice recent publication by Manjay Gowda on summarizing the results of the association mapping work to date. And he has another publication in preparation on biparental mapping work. So kind of in parallel, we decided to try and do a large QTL discovery effort. We looked at 8 populations. This was just F2's screening. We prioritized the 5 populations. This is a photo of Burhanu, who actually phenotyped these populations. You can see the segregation within this F2 of tolerant and susceptible plants. We noticed the difference between the white and yellow, which we might have expected, but what we didn't expect was that we found a major QTL on chromosome 6, but it wasn't in the place where we expected. We were thinking that we might be seeing the effect of SCMV1, but instead we found something quite unique on the far end of chromosome 6. It shows up in all 3 of the catch-a-star populations, large effect QTL, probably in loose linkage with Y1, which is why we were seeing that association. And then when we looked at the marker class means for the most significant marker in this experiment, we could see that this particular QTL is accounting for almost 2 points on the scale going across these 3 populations. So it's a very large effect QTL. It's also essentially recessive, and it shows up as a moderate size QTL. It looks promising as well from the CML 494. So that was good to see. We ran a GWAS for grain color, picked up Y1, and also another QTL on chromosome 9, which we're looking into. In parallel, the group in Mexico is screening for MCMV tolerance from land races. They found a number that looked promising, as well as some of the gem lines. A few of the gem lines actually trace back to tie sources, which may potentially corroborate our findings from the cat to start lines. We're quite excited there. So a larger integrated project. I don't have time to talk about this at all other than to say that I'm really only representing a small piece of the CIMMYT response to MLN here today. And then where we're headed in the future, we want to expand the coated by coated strategy, fast track our top performing hybrids. We're setting up a Mars pipeline, expanding and accelerating the MABCs using this major QTL from the Cat to Start lines. We're going to have to move this QTL into both heterotic groups because it is entirely recessive. We're also bringing it into West African lines and India lines, kind of to get ahead of the disease a little bit in case it moves. And we're expanding our forward breeding strategy as well. Just quickly on the acknowledgments, I've already touched on a few people and organizations here. I want to also mention the contribution of Jim Brubaker, who originally collected lines, sent the Cats to Start lines to the USDA collection, where Peg Redenbaugh forwarded them on to us. And so his long-term work on MCMV was very beneficial for us. I also want to mention that tomorrow there's a talk by Mark Sawkins on the integrated breeding platform. We're in the process of moving over to the IBP, and Michelle Regault is here as well at the conference, who's helping us begin to use that tool for MABC for streamlining our pipeline. So thank you.
We're out of time. Sorry.